the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. London's hot housing market has been cooling, and that's affecting home sales, home builders, and landlords alike, along with, of course, those looking to buy or rent a home. Today, I'm talking with Jonathan Juha about London's housing market, where we stand now, and how we got here. Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
Not too bad yourself.
Good, good. We have a lot to cover in this story because there's a lot of parts to this, actually. So let's kind of start in the past. 10 to 15 years ago, we saw a lot of people relocating to London from the GTA, from other more expensive areas. What were they looking for here? Why were they? I mean, it's cheaper here, but what were they? What were some of the situations that you've talked to a lot of people about this story? What were they looking for here? What were they looking to get out of London?
Well, 2015 is sort of like the point in time when we're starting to see sort of like home prices start to creep up. Sort of like the 5-10 years before that, they had grown, but they have done so at a very steady pace, sort of like a regular moderate market type of thing. But in 2015, we start to notice those numbers continue to go up and up a little bit faster kind of thing, right? And at the time, the first source of the extra demand that we were seeing were baby boomers who were, hitting retirement. They lived in the GTA. They would have properties that were worth, $1 million or more. They would sell those properties and then they would come here or look for communities like London where they could get pretty much a bigger bang for their buck. Bigger properties, more luxurious properties. I mean, if you're selling a property for $1 million and you can buy almost a mansion for 400 or 50,000, 500, you were making a pretty good deal right there, right?
Yeah.
Because that you have to remember, around 2015, the average price of a home was around 250,000. So when you were buying in the 500, 600,000 segment of the market, you were buying luxury, high end finishes, a lot of space, very nice homes, right?
Yeah.
So that's sort of like the first wave of extra demand that we started to see. London population continued to grow and it got accelerated by two main factors. Obviously, the federal government also had very ambitious targets when it came to immigration. We have seen all the stories about how universities and colleges started to rely more and try to attract more international students as well. Things like, obviously, London being, having French and having Western was also like, it's a big school town. So we were attracting a lot of international students. And then the pandemic hit. And when that happens, we had this phenomenon that people in the real estate industry call drive until you qualify. A lot of workers who perhaps couldn't afford to buy a home in the GTA or in that area, but now they found themselves being able to work from home. They decided to start looking farther afield to see, okay, where can I afford to buy a home now that I don't have to be in the office 5 days a week, right? And that also brought a big influx of people to the city. So we have started to see some of those big projections of population growth. In the last census data, London was one of the fastest growing communities, not only in Ontario, but across Canada as well. So all of that extra demand sort of like obviously put a lot of pressure on the system. And they were not, we were just not prepared in terms of the amount of rental units and the amount of homes available for sales in both the resale and the new side of the market to sort of like properly absorb the demand. And then we started to see prices just sort of like spiral, go up, go up, go up. We have, the federal government, the Bank of Canada also moved to lower interest rates in response to the pandemic. So we had sort of like this storm of factors that came together to sort of create a little bit of a bubble. At the time, not many people wanted to call it that, but when you had, prices jumping, like the average resale price of a home increasing from 1 month to another by 20,000-30,000 a month, it was just not a sustainable pace. And at one point that had sort of like to stop.
Yeah. We did reach like a peak, we had like a, you say in your story, an historic run up in prices and the peak home sale, average home sale price. When did we hit that? And what was it? Or what is it? Are we still there?
Yeah, so we hit that in February of 2022. The average resale price reached $825,000. And, quite honestly, at that time, it didn't seem like it was going to end. But then we saw the Bank of Canada shift gears and start increasing interest rates, because that's when we started to have also the conversations about inflation. Now you have to think about the fact that the Bank of Canada had their interest rates at 0.25%, historic lows, very low. So it meant that even if you were buying a property that was 800,000 or $1 million, you were still sort of like passing the stress test and qualifying for those type of properties. But as soon as the interest rates started to go up, obviously the cost of managing those mortgages also increased. The bar to qualify became harder. So a lot of people sort of like started to be left out of the market. And it almost felt that way, that all of a sudden, like from 1 month to the other, someone turned off a switch and the market started to go down. The number of sales started to go down. Because even at the time when you have those high prices, you were still setting records as well in the number of sales. So properties were selling. You have properties that would last 3, 4 days in the market, and they would get 10 to 15 offers on the property, going 100, 150,000 over asking price. So it was really the type of market that no one had ever seen. And it presented that way, but almost overnight, it felt like just as fast as we got there, we started to go the opposite direction. And the clear factor in there was definitely the increasing interest rates. It's not to say that demand for housing in the sense of the need or people wanting to home get a home has decreased. Right now, we're probably experiencing a little bit of that pent-up demand from people who haven't been able to get into the market that they want to. But we just sort of like the conditions to enter the market shifted, changed, and it became more difficult for people to actually get a foot on the market.
Even if you're not following these numbers specifically, I think everybody can take a look around their neighborhood and notice, well, there's not as many for sale signs, or that sign's been up for a long time. These houses aren't moving as quickly. Now that the interest rates have gone up and we, kind of hit that peak high, 3 years ago, what does that mean for people who did purchase when prices were that high? I mean, is there more delinquencies? Can they still afford their homes? What's happening?
So we are seeing, particularly in Ontario and in British Columbia, we're seeing delinquency rates for mortgages creep up as well. We haven't sort of like reached a crisis point like perhaps what we saw in 2008 and 2009 during the financial crisis. A lot of it is attributed to the implementation of the trust test, which sets a higher bar for you to qualify for a mortgage, and in theory is supposed to make sure that if you run into some financial difficulties, you'll still be able to afford your home and continue to make your payments. But here in London and in Ontario overall, the delinquency rates are creeping up. They're also going up, which is a suggestion of people having difficulty making their payments. Now, delinquency, it's sort of like when you have missed, I believe it's three payments in a row. So that's when you're starting to be counted. But the numbers are starting to indicate that there's some sort of some cracks in the system right now, and people are having a harder time because at the same, here's the point, like when let's say someone got into the market at $125,000 at the peak of the market, right? And but the interest rates were 0.25 set by the Bank of Canada. That meant that the interest they were paying on mortgage were very low. Home prices have gone down, and the interest rates have also gone down, but now we're still at 2.225. So there's still a 2 percentage point just from the key interest rate that the Bank of Canada sets, right? So that represents hundreds of dollars in payments for anyone servicing their mortgage. So that's where sort of like the main source of pain people are facing. And the other reality is let's say, okay, if you're not being able to make your payments and then perhaps you're forced to sell your property, it's nowhere near close as valuable as what you pay for it. So a lot of people are, facing that difficult situation or in that, a little bit of a bind deciding what to do. A lot of people will probably just end up saying, you know what, I'm gonna just try to make it work and continue to make the payments and hope that the market rebounds somewhat so I don't lose so much money on my property itself. But it's definitely something that we're gonna have to be keeping a look an eye on, especially in 2026, because if you're thinking that you bought in 2020, 2021, a lot of people are still up for renewal. And even though interest rates have gone down significantly over the past year, they're still going to be renewing at a significantly higher point than when they got their initial mortgage.
And their house isn't worth as much. to sell
Yeah,
it.
exactly. And
Have we
that's
seen?
no, I was
Sorry.
just gonna say that the other element is that you're seeing that in the market, that we have fewer sales, and part of that is because a lot of people are still trying to price their homes close to what they pay for them. But we're now into buyer's market, and people are looking for a bargain right now. They're sort of trying to take advantage of the situation and say, if the price is not right, then I'm not gonna go for it. So when I talk to realtors and people in the industry, they say, if you're pricing your property right and you are adjusting your expectations to the reality of the markets, your property is, it's gonna sell. But if you're still thinking that we're back in the pandemic years, then you are in for a long way before anyone will actually go and pull the trigger on buying the property.
Have we seen a lot of like any foreclosures, people losing their homes because it, I mean, how long you talk about, people waiting to see if the market resets, but we can't reset to these historic highs, can we?
It's very unlikely that or if we ever reach it, it'll probably be a more gradual increase in prices, more like a normal market than what we used to be used to see before the pandemic. We haven't really seen that, a lot of the foreclosures and people losing their homes again, because in theory the stress test is sort of like helping people, gave people sort of like a buffer, and they were really able to sort of like manage some of these financial difficulties. At the same time, mortgage payments is the last thing that people try to default on, right? Like they try to, maybe they miss a credit card payment, maybe a car payment, but people sort of like try to really, like if they're in a pinch, their money goes towards the mortgage, right? So we're still, again, we're not in a crisis point that we have seen in the past, but it's definitely something to look at and keep an eye on to see how the market continues to develop.
And not only, the interest rates gone down, but and they're losing money on their house, but just general cost of living has gone up, inflation is up. So it's, you talk about how people, the mortgage is the last thing they'll default on, but just living is hard for a lot of people right now, right?
Yeah, and actually talking, I was talking to someone from Equifax for my story, and she was saying like, yeah, the stress test seems to be working, and they were tested to see if they could afford financial difficulties when it came to the mortgages. But if they were they tested to combine that with the higher cost of living and all the inflation that we have seen over the, probably not. So if people who are struggling right now in that sense are feeling the pinch in more ways than one. It's not only the
Yeah.
mortgage payment right now, but it's everything else,
It's
grocery
everything.
shopping and gas prices. All of that sort of like complicates the picture as well.
Absolutely. What about people who still can't afford a home? When we saw those historic highs 3 years ago, of course, that was way out of reach. And a lot of people, you anecdotally talk to people who are, I'm going to wait for housing prices to go down. Well, they've gone down. But it's still out of reach for so many people. So who's being left behind right now? Who can't, who's struggling to get into the market and buy a home? Maybe the first home or upgrade or whatever.
I think first-time home buyers are probably still the hardest hit in this whole story, because at the end of the day, yeah, prices have gone down, but you still have to come up with tens of thousands of dollars for a down payment,
Yeah.
even if you are buying on the average segment of the market, right? And at the same time, you're having to deal with the higher interest rates. Again, they are lower than what they were a year and a half ago, but still are at a point where it makes it difficult for some young people to qualify for a mortgage and get approved and get into the market, right? So that's sort of like the segment of people who are still having a hard time, because just the fact that the prices have gone down doesn't mean that they have all of a sudden become affordable. It creates some opportunity for people who perhaps couldn't have afforded a home at 800,000, but at 600, maybe you can start looking at something that is a little bit cheaper, like a starter home or something like that, and then maybe you can find a way to sort of like finally get into it. But it's not easy for everyone. You still hear the stories about, young people having parents co-signing for them, or receiving help for down payments. So it's still a challenging environment for a lot of people who would want to be in the home ownership market as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about home builders. You and I have done many stories over the last few years about we need homes, we need homes, we need we have to build homes, we need to, have a big building boom, we've got a huge population. Is that still happening? Do we still need that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that it's even interesting if you look at from the fact that we are projected to have a little bit of a dip in population because the federal government has changed its targets. You know, they have put a cap on international students. So in theory, this would be the golden opportunity for you to sort of like continue to ramp up construction and units in the rental and from home ownership, because again, population is still projected to grow not only in London but across the country, right? So this would be a golden opportunity for us to be having that construction. So when that demand returns to the market, we have enough homes to sell to
Yeah.
people, so we don't see the run-up in prices that we saw, right? All the same pressures. Unfortunately, that's not what's happening right now. Obviously, if people are having a hard time, perhaps, you know, with the prices even where they are for the resale side of the market, new homes are more expensive as well, right? So even that segment of the market has seen sort of like the demand from buyers dry up significantly over the past year and a half as well. So a lot of builders sort of like, you know, completed projects that they already had on their way, but they're not as eager to start new constructions because they don't know how long a property is going to sit on the market. If there are no buyers out there ready to get the properties, then it's not economically viable for them to start those new projects. I have reported on several, you know, developers who have tried to come up with incentives and ideas, you know, sort of like, you know, borrowing or lending part of the down payment that is repayable over a certain period amount of time, things like that. Again, to try to attract buyers and from them to sort of like get rid of some of that inventory that they already have. But right now, we are seeing, at least on the home ownership side, the construction has really plummeted. When we're still seeing some construction in the city, it's when it comes to apartment buildings and units for rental. A big part of that is both the provincial and the federal government have created also programs and incentives to entice builders, you know, removing the GST from the cost, getting some sort of rebates and things like that. So right now for developers, it seems to be that they can still sort of like make some money if they are focusing on that segment of the market. But then again, we already have had a couple of years of very strong construction in this segment. So how long can that go on? And that's also like having an impact on rents because we're starting to get, according to some watchers of the industry, you know, to a point where we're going to get, once some of these units are completed, a little bit of an oversupply of units. That's great news for renters. But again, it's all about looking at long term once more demand and population continues to grow. Sort of like trying to match the supply that we have with the demand that we're going to get so we avoid that rapid increase in prices.
Let's talk a little more about renters. Are rent prices going down at all? Because you know, we're trying to meet the demand for people looking for rental homes, but it's also really expensive to find, you know, more expensive than a mortgage a lot of times to rent an apartment, maybe two or three bedrooms. What are rent prices doing right now?
So for the past year, they have sort of like edged down. Again, it's a combination of you know, obviously in a city like London, when you have fewer international students, that obviously has an impact on how many units that are available for the general population to rent. So we have seen sort of like that drop in demand, especially from that segment of the international students. And at the same time, we have had 2 3 years of very strong construction of what they call purpose-built rental buildings. So a lot of these units are coming online. So you are seeing, you know, a decrease in demand with an increase in supply. Obviously, that's going to lead to prices to drop. They still remain elevated, but you know, they peaked around the early parts of 2024. You know, the asking price for a 2-bedroom was, according to Statistics Canada, above $2,000, 2,050, somewhere around that. They're down to 1980. So it's not like a massive decrease, but they're sort of like trending in that general direction. It's the same for 1-bedroom apartments. So it's a combination again of that drop in demand and supply that is coming online. And there's still a lot, you still see cranes up in the sky, all across the city, a lot of buildings being built. So that's obviously going to increase the supply there. And we have to wait to see how you know, what the vacancy rate is for the city. The Canada Mortgage Housing Corporation is going to be releasing some of those numbers soon. But definitely we anticipate to see an ease in the market, at least on the rental side. Obviously not to the point where people feel like, it's easy to afford any type of apartment, because if you look at some of the newer buildings, some of the luxury units, you can still rent some of those units for $2,500, $3,000 in some cases. So there's all of that new supply doesn't mean that a lot of it is just newer units. So we still need to build sort of like that for that affordable segment of the market as well.
What about student rentals? Because, as we mentioned, the cap on international students has there's now a cap on international students, so there's fewer of them coming. We know colleges have laid off workers, employees, and faculty. How are land like student landlords feeling? Because they, I mean, it was hard to find a place for a long time.
Yeah, so I was able to talk to one of those like a property manager for one of my stores. He said they're seeing more of that. Like, I mean, he says that business is still stable. Like, it's not like they have units that are vacant or anything like that. It's just that they don't have the same level of demand. When a unit used to get 15, perhaps 20 inquiries, now sometimes they can get one, two, three. So they have definitely seen sort of like the drop in demand. He also said that it's more noticeable on the in the east end of the city, close to finishing college, because as we all know, colleges were the ones who rely more heavily than universities on international students, or were really making an effort to attract international students to their institutions. So the drop in the cap has not really been felt as much, let's say, in rentals around Western University, but for what I hear in the East End, it's a more pronounced drop in terms of demand. Again, not to the point where you're not gonna where you're where they're having a hard time, or where they're not being able to sort of like find a tenant, but still not the same pace than what we were seeing sort of like 2021, 22, 23, until very recently.
So what I mean, you talk to a lot of experts. What does the future of home sales and rentals look like? I mean, this might sound a little hopeful to people who are trying to get into the market, trying to find something at a cheaper price point, but is it really? I mean, is it are prices really expected to go down enough to be very affordable?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, right? Like, I mean, I always try to whenever I'm writing about these stories, to make that point that even though if they're trending down, you look at, for example, rent, we're still $100 higher right now than we were in 2019. It's the same for home prices. They have come down from the peak of 2022, but they're more like around 2019 levels. So far, still hundreds of thousands of dollars above what we used to have in, let's say, 2015, right? The big part of it is that the need for housing hasn't decreased. It's just, people are feeling insecure about, their financial stability, everything that's going on around the trade war with the US. You hear, companies laying off some workers, so you wonder, like, is the economy gonna turn south? So people are very hesitant right now. And so like being very careful about making that decision to sort of like buy a property or pull the trigger. So that's to say that that again, the need for housing is still there, and there's just a lot of pent up demand. And what happens with the market will be determined by what municipalities, the construction sector, the province and the government they do right now, sort of like during this time. Are we Because once the conditions improve, the expectation is that a lot of those buyers who are on the sideline are going to try to return to the market. So are we going to have enough supply to meet the demand, or are we going to be in a position again where we're going to see prices increase rapidly? I don't think that this is me speaking. Maybe we're not going to see, the combination of factors that we saw during the pandemic, but we couldn't see. We could easily be back at a point where prices grow rapidly because there's just not enough supply to meet the demand that's still there. Like people are not acting on it, but the need for housing remains not only here in London, but across the country.
Well, we know you'll have lots of stories on this in the future, and you've got a couple out right now, today and yesterday. You can check them out at lfpress.com. Thank you, Jonathan, for your expertise today.
Yep, thank you for having me.